Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Georgina Godwin. We're starting the week off with a roundup of some of this summer's art shows with the editor of the art newspaper, Jane Morris. And we have all bases covered, from drawing and photography to painting, sculpture, installations and performance. No artistic stone is left unturned as we explore exhibitions at the Drawing Room, the Photographer's Gallery, White Cube and the Tate Modern. All that coming up on the Monocle Arts Review. Stay tuned. Our first show today takes us to two galleries, the Drawing Room and the Photographer's Gallery. The two venues have collaborated in a show called Double Take, which explores the way that drawing and photography are combined and contrasted in modern art. So Jane, welcome to the show. Thank you very much for coming. What sort of things are we presented with at this double show?
Well, they're mostly works on paper with some film installations as well. They are mostly black and white or grey and white. There's a surprising amount of similarity across the show, and I think that's what's so interesting, that it's very difficult to tell in some cases which are drawings and which are photographs.
And that's something that the curators have gone for deliberately.
I think so. I think the idea of the show started from the idea that Henry Fox Talbot said that photography allowed nature to draw with itself, and photography does literally mean drawing with light. Historically, photography allowed drawing to move away from the obviously representational. It didn't have to produce a facsimile of the world anymore because photography did that. Mm. But then, the end of the 19th century, beginning of the 20th century, we get avant-garde photographers who take photography and start playing with it as if it was an abstract medium, just like paint.
So how have the different works been divided between the two galleries?
The Photographer's Gallery is mostly showing photography and the Drawing Room is mostly showing drawing. But as I say, in many cases, the lines are really quite blurred between the two. I mean, some literally have both incorporated.
Mm. What about the artists on show? Who are they?
There's a really wide range. There are some very famous artists on show, early modern artists like Laszlo Moholy Nagy. He shows photograms. So when you make a photogram, you put objects directly onto light sensitive paper. So the camera has been taken out of the process. They're showing a number of photographs by him and some other early modernists, but then it goes right up to very young artists, some, you know, in their 30s, who are using drawing and photography in interesting ways. At the Drawing Room, there's a fantastic series of works by an artist called Matt Saunders, and I'm not quite sure what the processes are that he uses, but he's mixing found images with he takes light sense paper and creates his own negatives and then exposes these things together to make these things that I don't know what you'd call them, paintings, drawings, photography. They're very sort of strange, ethereal images. You can see that there's some kind of, some of them I think are the interiors of disused cinemas. So there's a sort of sense of some kind of interior, but they almost look painted. Except they aren't.
Now, the Drawing Room's moved earlier this year. So what's the new space like?
It's in Bermondsey. It's not in the really trendy bit of Bermondsey. It's a bit further south on a big industrial estate. The space is a classic big warehousey kind of studio space that lots of people will recognise if they work in studios. It's a nice space for this kind of work. It feels very accessible. It feels very close to the artist's studio. It's a nice new space on this big industrial estate. It's slightly tricky to find. It is a little bit of a voyage of discovery.
Well, showing there and at the Photographer's Gallery until the 3rd of July is Double Take. Now, let's move on. We're off to the White Cube for a show called, well, We're Off. This is a major exhibition of work by German artist Georg Baselitz. In the 1950s and 60s, the controversial artist went against the fashion for abstract painting and instead favoured portraiture and the repetition of images, playing with techniques and mediums. This is well represented as the exhibition holds paintings, sculpture and works on paper. Jane, I know that you're a fan of Baselitz's work, so what draws you to it?
I think that he's one of those artists that he's hard to ignore. He's part of a group of people, they didn't work as a group, but they emerged around the same time, that includes people like Richter and Kiefer, who are in the immediate post-war German environment, and they're sort of caught between two camps, if you like. In the East, everybody's being taught socialist realism, and in the West, everybody's looking to America to make abstract expressionist or abstract work. And people in Germany, I think, particularly because of the horrors of the war and what had happened, were really in very, there were many dilemmas about which way they should go and what could they do, if anything, with German culture and whether they needed to turn away from it completely and just embrace a sort of new internationalism. And Baselitz is one of those artists who I think works around this theme very deeply. He clearly looks at work like the Die Brücke group, so that included people like Kirchner, so an earlier German group from Dresden, principally from Dresden. But at the same time, he does look a lot to what's going on in America, and he finds a particular kinship, I think, with Willem de Kooning. He's made work around de Kooning in the last few years, but the relationship is fairly clear. So he is interested in the work of people like de Kooning, but at the same time, he's very interested in what was there before in Germany, German stories and myths. I think you can see that in this exhibition, particularly in the sculpture, where these figures are made out of wood. They're cast in bronze, but they basically look like black wood. And they have a very artisanal woodcut, almost fairy tale, old fairy tale quality to them. So I think that he's a significant artist and he is interesting in the history of art because of this problem of what could you do in Germany after the horrors of the war.
Now, his work has taken place over a long period of time. So how much of the exhibition is old and how much is newer work?
The work is very recent. It's all new work. He's 78 and this series of work is principally about him and his wife. He's taken a painting by Otto Dix, which showed his parents as an elderly couple, and he says that he used that as his starting point, although they don't really look very similar, I have to say. And what he's done is he's painted himself and his wife again and again and again. There's also portraits of himself by himself and also his wife by herself.
And they've been married for 50 years.
They've been married for over 50 years, and it's very obviously about old age. You can see that their flesh is saggy. You can see pendulous bosoms. You can see flaccid penises. You can see wrinkles and bends and bumps. These figures float. They're sort of giant figures. Sometimes their heads are missing, sometimes not. The figures sort of float on this deep, dark background, which could be space, could be a coffin, could be inner space. But it's definitely a meditation, I think, about aging and decaying.
Now, he recently said that contemporary art practice was becoming fascist. I think that was an interview with the Financial Times. And he said that there's a tendency for new artists to focus too much on political correctness.
He's not a very political correct person, I have to say. He has been critical in the past about women painters. I think that's one of the often repeated criticisms which he's made to the German press and made in the British press. He was referring, I think, to the Oqui Enwezor Venice Biennale, which had a set of his works in, which many people thought were the highlight of the show. I think he probably rejects the kind of heavy curation that somebody like Enwezor, and by Enwezor is by no means alone. Mm. Lots of curators very much like to put particular political stances on exhibitions, and particularly in Venice. So I think that was probably a complaint one often gets from artists about the way, the degree to which curators reframe their works in a context that they may or may not particularly agree with. I think Baselitz is very outspoken. He says that he feels quite victimised by the German media. I believe in freedom of speech and he has every right to say whatever he would like to say. I think, though, it's unsurprising that he sometimes draws criticism for some of his more outspoken remarks.
You can catch the White Cube's Georg Baselitz show until the 3rd of July in their Bermondsey gallery. Finally, let's go to the Tate Modern for one of their summer shows, a major exhibition of work by the Lebanese artist Mona Hatoum. This show explores her work over a 35-year period and incorporates sculpture, installation and performance. Jane, you were just talking about politics and art, and of course she is a very, very political artist.
Absolutely, and I think when I walked into this show, and particularly as I started looking at the documents of some of her performances, which in many cases is all that is left of them because she did them in the 1980s and she wasn't famous then, I realised that I was very much transported back to the world of the early 1980s. I think with Mona Hatoum, you couldn't possibly divorce her biography from her art. You can with some artists, but with her, I think that would be more difficult.
Tell us about her life.
Well, she was born in 52, I think, to Palestinian parents, but they had already moved to Beirut. And at the time they moved, Beirut was going through a very prosperous and optimistic period. But as we all know, the Beirut of the 70s and 80s was a pretty terrible, war-torn place to be. Not only that, she comes to London. Now, I'm by no means comparing London with Beirut, but she comes to London and she's in places like Brixton. And 1981, it's the Brixton of the race riots. At the time, the politics was out there openly on the streets. I know we don't live in particularly calm times now, but I think people forget, you know, the skinheads, the ultra left-wing politics, the fact that it was difficult to be a student and not be harangued by somebody from some particular faction or another. And she comes into this as a Middle Eastern woman at art school at a time when I don't think it was particularly easy to be a female artist, if there ever was a very easy time. Into this maelstrom of politics. She's missing her family, she's missing her culture. She can't easily go back to Beirut because of what happens, the civil war and then the war with Israel. So she's living in very turbulent times. And I think not inevitably, you don't have to make work about those things. And she could have made work about those things in a different way. But she has been very influenced by that environment, and she's engaged with it very strongly. And I think what I was very interested to see was how she was doing that almost from the very beginning of her career. One of the very first pieces you see in the exhibition is a photograph, you see the film later on, where she has got a pair of DM boots attached to her naked feet, which she's walking through the streets of Brixton and the boots are dragging behind. Now, the Tate says that, of course, skinheads wore those, the police wore those. What they didn't say was they were also art school uniform. So those boots are, and the way they're banging against the back of her feet, are definitely saying something, I think, about how she saw herself in 81 in this foreign country.
So themes of violence, of voyeurism, of oppression too.
Very much so. Again, she's comes out of a feminist tradition, and I think some of the most powerful pieces. The first piece I ever saw of her work in 94 is in this show. And this is a piece where you go into a circular room and there is a video on the floor. And you realise that what's happening is that the videoscope, whatever you call it, an endoscope, it's going around her body and then up inside her bottom and inside her colon. Now, it's a really interesting piece because it reminded me we were all obsessed with surveillance in the 80s. We were also, and particularly women artists, were really openly exploring issues to do with the body, as other artists, women artists, had done in the 70s before them. It was a very shocking and very powerful piece. It's actually quite beautiful as well. You wouldn't think it would be, but it is. And I think that she started to mark out her territory quite clearly there.
Because she is known for using her body as a canvas, isn't she?
Yes, yeah. Yes. And also she uses hair. There's a lot of hair. She uses hair. She sews it into pillows. She sews it into toilet paper. There's quite a funny piece because she can be quite witty as well. It's not all total dark and doom and gloom, but there's a very nice sort of French chair. A lot of the titles are French. I think French was probably her first language, or one of her languages definitely, because it was commonly spoken in the Lebanon at this period. There's this lovely curly metal French chair, which is, I think it's called a Jardin Public. And just sitting on the middle of it is a little lump of pubic hair. And it's both a witty reference to surrealism, and it's actually quite fun and it's quite charming.
Yeah. It's quite a confrontational show, and there's a lot of installations, aren't there?
Yeah, there's some really big installations. You walk into rooms and there's a whole series of small cages with a lamp inside them. There's another room that it looks like beautiful strings hanging from the ceiling. It's actually a reference to another artist's piece. Instead of being light, lovely strings that you can walk through, it's actually barbed wire. So it looks light and beautiful, but you couldn't possibly walk through it. So yeah, there's some really big, strong, striking works.
Sounds amazing. I'm there, and so can you be, because Mona Hatoum's work will be displayed at the Tate Modern until the 21st of August. And that brings us to the end of today's show. Thanks very much to my guest, Jane Morris, editor of the Art Newspaper. To keep with the art world news, head to theartnewspaper.com. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Georgina Godwin. This show was produced by Holly Fisher. Join us again at the same time tomorrow when Fernando Augusto Pacheco will be rounding up his highlights of this year's Eurovision Song Contest. But for now, goodbye from me and thanks very much for listening.